Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. This is Dr. Annie B. Wilder coming on the Dr. Annie B. Wilder Show. I'm coming to say good morning, good morning, good morning. Yes, it's another Monday morning, another beautiful day, another day that the Lord has made. Another day the Lord has allowed us to wake and to be a part of. Yes, yes, yes. So I say to you, how are you? I want to know. I do. And I'm even going to take a moment because I want you to respond. I don't want it to be one of those cursory things that we do, you know, when we walk in and we say, hello, how are you? And we don't stop for a minute to hear their response. Listen, I want to know, and I know some people will say, well, hey, you don't want to know what's going on with me. It'll take a long time. Well, listen, I don't have a long time on the radio. There are times that maybe you can make it a little short, but at least tell me and be honest. Are you feeling well? Are you feeling discouraged? Oh, my God, what's going on? Because we do know that so many things are going on in our nation today. So, hey. And the one thing for sure is we found out we just need to communicate. We need to connect. We need to have time for one another. So I'm saying to you, hey, let's talk about it. Come on. I give you a platform to talk to me about it. Yes, I do. I see you can email me. Yes. And if some of those that have found my text, how to text me, you can text me. I want to hear. I want to know. Yes, you say, well, I'm new to the broadcast, and I don't know about that. Well, I'll tell you now. Just email me at drannibwilder@gmail.com. That's D-R-A-N-N-I-E, the letter B, W-I-L-D-E-R@gmail.com. So come on, how are you doing? Well, with that said, especially for you new individuals and new listeners, I want to remind you, I want to say to you, I'm here on Monday mornings first to ask you and first to just say to you, hello, to greet you, hello, hello, and secondly, to bring you a segment of time wherein my goal, my focus is to, hey, bring some enlightenment from scriptures, to point to some things that may be going on in our lives and how they apply to scripture, that when you walk away from my broadcast, you would have been empowered, you would have been enlightened, you would have been encouraged. That's it. Yes, yes, yes. We all need to be encouraged. And that is my goal. That's my goal. So, and as I say to you so often, hey, just by you responding to me, texting me, and so forth, you're encouraging me because it's a two-way street. I come to encourage you, and your feedback to me encourages me. Isn't that exciting? Well, get on with the broadcast. Because, yes, somebody say, well, I've just been waiting to hear you say you're excited. Well, can't you hear it in my voice already? But I will say it. I am excited. I have a topic that I want to talk about. And as I said, hopefully encourage you, okay? And I'm excited about it. So my topic today is tell what you know. Yes, yes, yes. Don't try to tell other people's story. Just tell what you know. And I'm going to be coming from John chapter 9, verses 25 through 34 in your hearing. Because, you know, I don't have time to read the whole chapter, which consists of 41 verses, yes, but I'm going to read that clip of verses to you in your hearing, and as always, I'm pencil and paper, because I need you to go back and read the whole chapter, and that read the one that came before it. Spend some time in the Bible reading. Don't ever take everything that Dr. Wilder say, you know, as what we say, gospel, so to speak. In other words, you know, Dr. Wilder can say some things, not intentionally, but, hey, you know, I get excited. And so I need you to go back and read the story for yourself, all right? So once again, my topic, tell what you know. Coming from John chapter 9 and in your hearing verses 9 through 25 through 34. But as usual, we'll have prayer first, all right? And then I'll come back and read the scripture and then enter into our discussion for today. I thank all of you that's online. I thank you for the new people that are coming on. I told you I'm encouraged. I'm encouraged as I come to me. So are you ready? Yes, you're all set. Let's have prayer. Father God, in the name of Jesus the Christ, Lord God, we come to you as always to first say thank you. Thank you, Lord God, that even in the midst of trouble, in the midst of turmoil, in the midst of all the things that are going on around about us, that you are yet there for us to come to, that we can still have hope in the midst of darkness. So we come thanking you for what you've already done. Thanking you for how you're encouraging, how you're uplifting, how you're comforting. Oh, God, our nation needs it so bad. But you promised the comfort, and indeed, that's what you've been doing for us. So we thank you. And then, Father God, as I have this wonderful privilege of coming on this line to speak to the listeners far and near in this country and in other countries as well, places I may never enter into, physically walk on those grounds. But God, my voice is going. So I ask if I'm weary this morning. Touch that one that's heavy laden this morning. Touch that one that's discouraged this morning. Touch that one, Lord God, who's just crying out for some direction. Don't know which way to go. Somebody's so heavy today, Lord God. Even right now, those that are maybe in the funeral parlors, Lord, and they need help. They need direction. They need you to uphold them, God, because the hurt is so heavy. Lord, we know that whatever the problem is, you are the answer. So I come lifting up my radio audience this morning, asking that you touch them now, that you encourage them now, that, God, you continue to bring individuals out the hospitals. Continue, Lord God, to strengthen those that they don't go in the hospitals. Continue to heal the homes and supply their every need according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. That's what you said you would do. So we are holding it to your word, God, and we're thanking you that you are faithful to do that which you said you would do. And in Jesus' name, open up their ears to hear this message today. And then, Lord, anoint me, your servant. Give your Holy Spirit charge to take control of these lips of clay and speak what the listeners need to hear. All these things I pray in Jesus' name. And I say amen, amen, and amen. Glory to the Most High God. So, as I said, my scripture text is coming from John. That's New Testament, okay? Matthew, Luke, and John, all right? That ninth chapter. And I'm going to be reading verses 25 through 34. Are you ready for that? Okay? And the scripture reads, he answered and said, whether he is a sinner or not, I do not know. One thing I know, that though I was blind, now I see. Then they said to him again, what did he do to you? How did he open your eyes? He answered them, I told you already, and you did not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Then they reviled him and said, you are his disciple, but we are Moses' disciples. We know that God spoke to Moses. As for this fellow, hey, we do not know where he is from. The man answered and said to them, why? This is a marvelous thing that you do not know where he is from, yet he has opened my eyes. Now we know that God does not hear for sinners, but if anyone is a worshiper of God and does his will, he hears him. Since this world began, it has been unheard of that anyone opened the eyes of one who was born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing. And verse 34 says, they answered and said to him, you were completely born in sins, and are you teaching us? And they cast him out. Woo, praise God. As always, that's why I invite you to read the Word of God. Get in there yourself, because it's exciting. It will get your attention, and I tell you, it gets exciting. You want to keep reading. Now, but as I said, this chapter of Scripture has 41 verses, so I can't read them all, so I'm going to try to give you a little highlight. Some highlights tell you what it's all about. I want to tell you how my topic today came about. And that is, you know, I'm a pastor, and as I was exhorting my congregation on yesterday, the people that were online, because we are still doing Zoom, yes, all right, we were talking about being witnesses, coming from Luke, the 24th chapter, over there on 24, okay, chapter 24, the latter part, specifically verse 48, okay, where Jesus was making preparations to leave, you know, in his earthly ministry. And he was talking to the disciples and telling them that, you know, what their assignment was going to be after he left, that they were to be witnesses. They were to go and they were going to teach the gospel. They were to be witnesses of what Jesus had done, what they had observed him doing in the 3.5 years that he had been with them, had walked with them, had dined with them. Oh, my God. Had prayer meetings with them. And we go on and on because he did so many things. He performed miracles in their midst. Oh, miracles, turning water into wine and raising the dead and so on and so forth, which, of course, even today, we like miracles, right? We do like miracles, and miracles are good, all right? But it's still something about walking and trusting the Lord till we come out of our situation, just walking with him and doing that journey that he brings us on through the situation. Because he promised, you know, he promised to come in, but he didn't always say how he was going to. He's still a miracle worker. He's still a way maker. He's still a problem solver. He's still a burden bearer. Oh, my God. Yes. And he's definitely still the lifter up of our heads. Yes, I said it. Those that have hung down heads today, I'm here to try to help you, okay, that we'll lift our heads. To know that, hey, trouble don't last always, not last always, okay? And so, but as I was exhorting the people on yesterday, the congregants on yesterday, and from that course, that portion of Scripture, that Jesus said to the disciples, he said, you are witnesses. You are witnesses. There are things you're going to be able to tell. A witness, what's a witness? A witness is one to tell what they have seen, what they've observed, even what they have experienced. And so as Jesus was talking about the remission of sins and all of that over there in Luke 24, and he's saying to them, hey, you are witnesses of the things I've done. You are, and this is the message you're to continue to carry. And because you were with me, you are witnesses. In other words, you're just going to go forth and tell what you've observed. Go forth and tell what you've experienced. Now, why was that so important? You might, well, because many of us are feeling that either we are newborn Christians, new Christians, and we're excited about what Jesus has done for us, but we don't know that, hey, I don't really have a story to tell. And then we have some people, look, that have been Christians for a long time, and they're still feeling, well, I've never taken any formal courses in witnessing. I've never been a part of any formal training in witnessing. So I can't tell anybody. I can't draw anybody. I can't bring anybody to Christ. Well, that was the purpose of this discussion today. Because as I was just dialoguing with the congregation, my mind went to this course of Scripture, this portion of Scripture as an example. Because what I'm saying is, hey, you have a story. You know what God has done for you, and nobody can tell it like you can tell it. You want to laugh a little bit on that one because you've heard it before, right? Nobody can tell my story like I can tell it. What I want to encourage you today is, hey, your story is mighty. Your story is powerful. Your story can bring change to people's lives. your story, your experience with the Lord, all right? I want to, I feel to say it to you really right now. Please stop putting yourself down. Stop thinking, what he did for me or what happened to me isn't that big thing. Because why? You're comparing yourself to other people's stories. Listen, there's somebody for everybody. There's a level of ministry, and there's a level of where people are for everybody. So you might not, you may not hit the big stage, but who knows? You just might. Yes, you might. All right? But, hey, isn't the person next door? That soul is special because the Bible says all souls belong to the Lord. They're precious to him. Wonderful to see somebody to come out of bondage, to come out of the darkness, to come out of the despair, to come out of the ravages of sin, and that your testimony, telling what the Lord did for you, telling that, hey, I once was there, but now I'm here. I once was at my wit's end, okay? But the Lord met me, and he brought me out, okay? Oh, isn't that awesome? To be able to tell somebody needs to hear that from you today. Somebody needs to hear your story, all right? And then they, what's the purpose of it? To provoke them to want your Savior? To provoke them to want to seek out the one who saved you, the one that you're talking about? Yes, to provoke them. Oh, you're saying provoke. Is that, that's bad, Dr. Wilder. Yeah, when we provoke people to anger, that's bad. But even the scriptures say we want to provoke people to love. We want to provoke people to do what I'm saying. Provoke means to encourage them. So they get to a point that, hey, I want that too. I want that too. I'm going to go after that. Yes, that's provoking them. Not to anger. Let me repeat that. Let me get it clear. We don't want to provoke anybody to anger. No, we don't want to. All right? But it's okay that through the mighty works that the Lord is doing in your life, in my life, in our lives, that other people decide, I'm going to go search that out. I want to follow that same, whatever going on with their lives. I want to do the same thing. That's what we mean by provoking today, okay? That indeed they become encouraged and they want to know your God. They want to know your Savior. They want to know who worked a mighty miracle for you. They want to know who brought you from death's door. They want to know who raised you up from a place of poverty, oh my God, to prosperity. They want to know, how did you get where you are today? Yes, and for you to be able to say, it was Jesus. Trying to encourage, working on encouraging the listeners, encouraging the congregants, that we don't have to wait for big training. We don't have to wait for seminars. We don't have to wait for special training to be witnesses. You already have it from the moment that God touched your life. You are a witness. You have a story, your story. And all you have to do is say, all I know is this is what Jesus did for me. And so that's what brought me over to this scripture, because I like to give examples. I love whenever the Lord gives me a message, I often say to him, all right, God, give me an example in your word. Give me an example, God. I know you just gave me a principle. I got that. But now give me an example. Why? Because that's what I do. My focus is to help people to recognize that the life that we're living, the situations that go on in our lives, they are so common. They're right there in the Bible. In other words, the Bible and our lives are not disconnected. They are the same. Going on with us, it's already been written. The Bible says so. That's why we have the Bible, because he says that it's written. It was inspired by God, and it was written for our teaching, for our admonition, for our instructions in righteousness. So that's what you have the Bible for. That's what we have the Bible for. It's to help us. We'll find ourselves in it if we read it. We will find ourselves in the pages of the Bible if we read it. You said, is that so, Dr. Wilder? I dare you to try. I dare you to begin to read. If you're, hey, whatever your situation, look it up. Whatever your situation, get in there. There's a scripture. There's a story. There's an example in there that will encourage you and uplift you. So that's where I am. That's how I came to my scripture text for today. So I remembered this verse, and I went over and I read it, and that's what I want to bring to you. So when I pick it up today, man had been born blind, and though he was up in age now, okay, he was no longer a child, he was no longer a teenager, but he was, close to 40, or if not in his 40s, all right? And so being blind by this time, yes, the way he made a living was begging. Yes, sitting and begging, all right? And the scripture opens up saying that Jesus passed by. I love it. Jesus passed by, and as he passed by, he saw this man who was blind from birth, okay? And then, as so often, Jesus' disciples began to quiz Jesus. Why is he blind? Why was he born blind, okay? Was it because he sinned? Or was it because his parents sinned? Now, isn't that interesting? But it's common, right? I know you're saying it. I know that it's sin. But, hey, he was in his mother's womb. How could he have sinned? Okay? So, but we believe the two options. Either he sinned or their parents sinned. All right? Jesus comes along and says, hey, it wasn't either one of those. In other words, Jesus brings forth another option, another possibility. And that's one of the first things I want to say to us today. Maybe it's the second or third thing I want to say. But either way, I want to caution us, all right? Let's stop jumping to conclusions. We're so big on jumping to conclusions as to why this happened, why bad things happen to good people and everything. We don't know why. We don't know why. Let's just get to a point that we accept the fact that Jesus is Lord, all right? And Jesus can reveal things. Jesus knows things that we don't know and our minds cannot fathom, all right? So here it is that they began to question. And so the point is Jesus' focus was on the man, all right? So he didn't spend a long time dialoguing with them, but he went on. And the Bible lets us know that what Jesus took and he took some clay and he spit on it, all right? And then he took and rubbed it on the man's eyes. And then he told the man to go down to the river, go down to the river and wash himself. Wash, go wash in the pool. Actually, it's the pool of Siloam, all right, which means sit. And there's a history on that pool, but I don't know whether I have time today to get into that. But anyway, it meant sit. So, look, the part that I get out of this initially was I didn't see where the man asked Jesus to heal him. He was blind. I don't know. And when they go, oh, we're going to see that he didn't even know who the man was at that point. But look, Jesus did it, and Jesus told him, gave him instructions, and Jesus didn't even make him a promise. He just simply said, go. Go and wash. Now, that would take some faith for the man. It took faith for him to be able to do that. All right? First, he was blind. Secondly, he was away from the pool, all right? And yet, all he knew was something had been done, something had been put on his eyes, all right? And there wasn't even a promise associated with it. But Jesus told him to go wash. And the scripture let us know the man went and washed. He didn't spend a lot of time questioning. He didn't spend a lot of time saying, what is this you did to me? He didn't spend any time. He simply obeyed. In other words, it took faith to do that. It took him believing, hey, then there's a reason, but I'm being told to go wash in the pool. And so the man simply went, and the scripture let us know that he returned seeing. But look, when he returned seeing, Jesus hadn't hung around. So he still didn't know who had done it. He didn't see who had done it, all right? But he came back seeing. Now, this is what happens. Pay attention. I told you it's always exciting, didn't I? From John 9 today, all right? That when he came back, you know, then the people began to talk about it. Oh, is this not the man that's been blind all along? okay? All the neighbors, all the people that probably, you know, for all those years have passed them by, had just walked past them, turned out to be okay too, you know, because they saw them for themselves, that this man had been blind many years, just sitting there blind, all right? And so, but the scripture says the neighbors, okay, and all those that had previously seen that he was blind, they began to talk. So they began to say, is not this he who sat and begged? Isn't this the same man? And others said, this is he. They responded, yeah, he's the one. He's the man that we've been walking past year after year, day after day and year after year. He's that one. Yeah, he is. And others even said, he is like him. Are you seeing this? Do you see how frightening this is? Do you see, do you hear some of the conversations that have been going on around you from time to time? Yes, do you see? Yes, okay? Instead of just being happy, excited, hey, this man who's been sitting here blind all this time, begging and begging, oh, my God, he's seeing. Oh, he's no longer blind. No, you got all this inquisition going on. Is he the one? Okay? And so, look. This is gets exciting. What did I tell you my topic was? Tell what you know. Here it is, the man standing there excited about being able to see and yet not getting people around about him excited. They're not excited. Instead, they're over there questioning. So he steps up himself and say, I am he. You didn't ask me. I am he. I'll tell you, I'm the man that been sitting here for years. I know some of your voices. Ears were working perfectly fine, so I recognize your voices. And, yes, I'm the one that you passed by. I'm the one that you wagged your head at. I'm the one that you stood there and whispered about. I'm the one. Yes, I am he, all right? And so then it says, therefore they said to him, how were your eyes opened? So now they finally get around to asking him the question. How did this happen? How did this happen? All right. And he answered them. Yes, he answered them. And he says, a man called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes and said to me, go to the pool of Siloam and wash. Hey, so he gave me an instruction. I couldn't see him. All right. And he didn't make me any promises. But he gave me an instruction. And, you know, I know. And listen, let's be reminded. We get answers. We get maybe a miracle. Yes. It's better to obey than to sacrifice. Some people are still out there trying to sacrifice rather than just doing what Jesus said. You're trying to give. Let me see what else I can give. Instead of doing what Jesus said, he's given you an assignment. He's told you to make a phone call. He's told you to write a check for someone, all right? But you rather go about doing whatever it is in another way, hey, because you just don't want to follow the instructions of Jesus. But this man said, what did he say? He said, so I went and washed. And as a result, I received my sight. All right, you think that that would have made them happy and excited? No, it didn't. Who am I talking about? The religious leaders, those that were supposed to carry out the gospel, those that, as we have followed the scripture, were already antagonistic about Jesus and against Jesus. All right? They were always trying to catch him up. And so here it is. They're not, oh, no, it couldn't have been that. Here's a miracle in front of us. This thing, okay, let's just disqualify him some way. They had a history of that. That's what they spent their time doing, trying to disqualify Jesus for being who he was, all right? And so then they said to him, where is he? And the man said to him, I don't know. Remember, I told you, Jesus did this thing, gave an instruction, and he left, all right? So the man said, I don't know. I don't know where he is. So then, look, they brought him, who was formerly blind, to the Pharisees. Look at the process here. They couldn't get what they wanted out of him, all right, because he was telling his story. He was telling it like it was. They didn't like the answer. So then they brought him to the Pharisees, the big shots, so to speak. In other words, see, the neighbors and the other in the everyday individuals, that they couldn't get what they wanted out of him. So now they come and they bring him to the hierarchy, all right, the Pharisees, who also ask him, also, meaning this, here it is again, they're going through the same cycle again, okay? And so they ask him, who, okay, how had this sight, how did you get your sight? How, what happened? And again, he said to them, he put clay on my eyes, and I washed, and I see. He's telling his story. He put clay on my eyes, I washed, and now I see. All right? Therefore, some of the Pharisees said, this man is not from God because he does not keep the Sabbath. Oh, you see right there, that's the problem. That's one of the things that they always came against him. It's the Sabbath. You know, they had put out all these laws and extended all what God had already said, the laws that God had put down, they had extended them. And so now it was the Sabbath day that Jesus cared enough to come by and heal this man. And so they say, and because he didn't keep the Sabbath according to their traditions, okay, because he didn't follow their traditions, then they say he can't be of God. Oh, some of you, that's where you are today. Some people right now, you're in turmoil this morning. And so this is coming to help you with your turmoil. You're saying, I don't know whether to stay. I don't know whether to leave. You know, I'm not sure about that place, all right? I'm not sure about that ministry anymore. I'm not sure what I'm supposed to do. And you're questioning and you're going back and forth. And I always say to you, get in the Bible. The answer is in the Bible, all right? We've learned that there are people that abuse you even in the church. But Bible, what does the Lord say about the situation? Is what's going on contrary to the word of God? Yes, come on. Do some research here. Seek God. He'll tell you and he'll point it out to you. All right? So to them, all right, they're referring to Jesus saying that, oh, no, because he did this on the Sabbath. What? That was the way they had interpreted and the way they had put it down. Okay? And so, but then it was still others still asking the question, how can a man who is a sinner do such signs, okay? And there was a division among them. That's one of the things that's going on with us today in our nation, in our politics, in our churches, in our homes, division, okay? And we know anytime there's division, there the whole structure is going to fall. Yes, it's going to fall. The Bible says it, all right? Division causes destruction. Division causes things to fall. The best plans and the best programs that have been going on, if we let division comes in, then it's subject to fall. Yes, it's subject to fall. So, again, we want to make peace as soon as we can. If it's in our power to make peace, we want to. We want to reason. Even the Bible tells us that we can reason with God. So why can't we reason with our brothers and sisters? Why can't we sit down and reason with our mates? Why can't we reason, okay? Because then sometimes, many times, we'll get to understand that there was an misunderstanding. I like it. We'll get to understand there was simply a misunderstanding that has not been addressed, and therefore the matter has gotten so far out of hand that now the whole building, so to speak, the whole program is about to fall because we didn't sit down to reason together. We didn't sit down to communicate. Oh, come on. You know how much I talk about communication, how important it is, all right? So they said to the blind man, again. How many times? It's about 3 or 4 times, okay? Again, say about him because he opened your eyes. And by now, okay, listen to all this rhetoric and everything, he's come to know he's a prophet. That's what I can tell you. He's a prophet. But the Jews still not satisfied. Those religious leaders, those big shots, still were not satisfied. The scripture is letting us know. All right? So they did not believe concerning him. Now, this gets to be even more exciting. Wasn't it exciting already? But let me tell you. It says, now, you know, what they did was, until they called the parents. They didn't believe him. They couldn't trip him up. he was only telling what he knew. He was telling what he knew. Over and over again, he was staying with his story and telling what he knew. But it wasn't satisfying the crowd. It wasn't satisfying the religious leaders. So they turned to his parents. I think that's an insult. He's a grown man. He's an adult. And yet we can't believe his story. Let's go to his parents. And they ask, is he your son who you say was born blind? How then does he now see? They come and ask the parents, is he confirmed that this is your son? Okay. And if so, then how does he now see? And so I love the parents' response. His parents answered them and said, we know that this is our son. Hey, there's no doubt with us. He's our son, okay? And that he was born blind. After all, we've lived with this for a number of years. We know that. But by what means he now sees, we do not know. Or who opened his eyes, we do not know. And then they turned to him. I think this was awesome. They turned and said, he is of age. Ask him. He will speak for himself. How many of you, you're still trying to answer for somebody else when you need to send the people to the source? I find this is really big, really big, especially in programs and in our churches, you know. Why are we always trying to answer for somebody else when they're perfectly capable of answering for themselves? Instead of feeling like we got to protect everybody and we got to control every situation, why can't we simply say, go and ask that person. Don't bring me your gossip. Don't bring me your negative thoughts and everything. Go and talk to the source. Go talk to them face to face. And you know what's going to happen? Many times that shuts their mouth and they do not follow up. They will not go because what they're really after is causing conflict. That's what these individuals were trying to do. They didn't want to really know the source of his healing. They wanted to discredit Jesus. That's what they were about. And so that's why I find it so exciting about the parents' response. Although, if we finish, we know the background. That wasn't really the reason they said it, but it was a smart response. Their real reason was to get the people off their back because they didn't want to be extra communicated. They didn't want to be put out the church. And one of the practices was that, hey, if you sided with Jesus, okay, if you called him Christ, all right, well, he wasn't Christ yet, but if you just followed Jesus, then you would be put out of the synagogue. Yeah, if you become a follower of Jesus, they will put you out. Ooh, somebody say, that's what I'm experiencing myself, okay? So their response really was just to get them off their back, all right? And not cause them trouble, that they would be put out, all right? So anyway, they said what they said, and I found it quite exciting, okay? All right? And so then we get down here, and we see that it says, so they again called the man. They couldn't get any satisfaction. I can't get no satisfaction. They couldn't get any satisfaction from the man initially. They couldn't get any satisfaction from the parents, all right? So now they go back to the man, all right? And they say, again, they called him, who was the man that was blind. And they said to him, give God the glory. Just do anything but give any credit to Jesus. Don't acknowledge Jesus in this. That's what they were saying. Give God the glory. You're seeing, we see that you're seeing, but give God the glory, all right? We know this man is a sinner. And then the man answers and said, whether he is a sinner or not, I do not know. One thing I know, now I see. I want to say it again. He's saying, the one thing I know, okay, I don't know if he's a sinner or not. All I know is I was blind, but now I see. And that's what's of importance to me. I'm not here trying to sign a dictate what somebody is and what they're not. All I know is they had the power to heal me, to meet my need. My God. Woo. Then they said to him again, what did he do to you? How many times are they going to ask that? Okay. How did he open your eyes? And again, the man answered them, I told you already, and you did not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you also want to become his disciples? Now, this is one of the punchlines. The punchline is, all right, that what is witnessing all about? Witnessing is about hoping to gain people and bring them to believe what you believe. Believe in the Savior. Believe in Jesus Christ. That's the whole point. So that's where he turns to just telling you the same thing. So why are you asking me now? You didn't hear me before. Are you asking me now because, okay, you too want to become his disciple? That's our goal of witnessing. But we just want to tell our story and leave it there, all right? We want to be able to tell what we know and tell what has been done for us and leave it there, okay? And then the Lord will do the work, do the rest. So then it says they reviled him. Now, this is as we come towards the close. We come towards the close of my discussion today. And a warning, okay? Remember what I said? We're talking about being witnesses. We're talking about the fact that what has happened to you. We're talking about your experience is a witnessing tool. It's, no, you don't have to go to school for that. You don't have to go into special sessions for that. You are witnesses. You are a witness. You know what has happened to you. You know what your life was like before. You know how you've gone through so many things and you couldn't get an answer. And yet you had an encounter with Jesus. The scripture opened up and says Jesus passed by. Oh, I get excited about that. I say, oh, isn't that exciting that Jesus would pass by? Not only did he pass by, but he took the time to focus on this man, to focus on his condition. He didn't just walk past as we look at when we often think of passing by, okay? But as he came toward him, he came into his vicinity, he stopped and he addressed the man's need. Oh, isn't that where you are today? Isn't that where most of us are today? Isn't that where we are every day at some level or another, that we just need Jesus? Oh, my God. The Bible says he doesn't just pass by us. He's ever present. And but then to just experience his mighty works in our lives, to experience his delivering power, to experience the miracles in our lives, because Jesus, that our lives will change. And so can you imagine for 30-some years, maybe 40 years or so, being in a dire situation, helpless, dependent upon other people to do for you, and just with a simple instruction, a simple act, and a simple instruction that you had to follow by faith without questioning, without a lot of fanfare, just a simple act of faith that, hey, the 40 years of embarrassment, the 40 years of thinking that the rest of my life is destined to be this way, that, hey, now you can arise and have a word to speak to other people that may be in similar situations, a word to testify, to tell them what happened to you. Oh, my. And stay true to your story. Try to embellish it, not try to, back away from it because you're afraid of what might happen to you. It's your story. Tell your story. Somebody's going to be blessed from it. It's called witnessing. Come on, be a witness. A witness. I was there. I am the man. I am he. I'm the one that have been begging and pleading with people day by day. I'm the one. I am. Nobody can take that from you. These individuals tried their very best to get him to change, okay? Give God the glory, they said. Give God the glory. Don't say this was a man named Jesus. Don't say that. Hey, we don't like that man. So we don't want you to say that, but you can give God the glory. You can, hey, God did a miracle. But don't say Jesus. But he held firm to his testimony. He felt the word today. Now, look, what's the ramifications of that? As we know, there are other verses that go on with this. But then Jesus steps in, and because they did put him out the temple. They did excommunicate him. The Bible, as we go on and read, we find that they reviled him, and they abused him. They insulted him. They rejected him. Yes, they put him out of the temple because of his testimony, because I'm being a witness, because I'm telling his story of what had happened. So I'm going to ask you today, which would have been greater for you? What would mean more to you? To try to stay where people wanted to discount the miracle that had happened to you, stay there, to stay connected, to know that they didn't respect you. They didn't even respect your story. They didn't know how to, wouldn't even rejoice with you. Do you want to stay there? Or do you want to follow the one that worked this miracle for you and believe him to put you in the position where you need to be, where he really, where you will be respected, you will be received, you will be celebrated? Hey, which one? I'm asking the question. I'm not here to try to celebrate, separate you from hey, wherever, whatever's going on, but I ask you the question, all right? Are you being rejected? Are you being abused? Are you being reviled? Are you being insulted? Are you being rejected because of your story, your experience with the Lord? Is that why you're encountering so much negativity in your life? Well, listen, I want you to keep telling what you know. And as I said earlier, nobody can tell it like you. Nobody knows your story. Nobody knows what you've gone through. Nobody. They saw you during the daytime, yes. But, hey, trying to make yourself your way back home, trying to figure out how to do a meal, trying to outlive the old reputation that you had, that people love to throw up in your face. They love to remind you. They love to tell you, oh, we were friends doing this and that, all the negative stuff. They like to do that. They celebrate that with you. But how about being able to celebrate the change that's come over in your life? How many are really excited about that? So if we trust Jesus, stay with your story. Stay with your story. Tell what you know. Tell your story. You are a witness. You are a witness because you were there. And so trust. Scripture going to tell us that when they put him out, Jesus found him. Yes, when they put him out, Jesus found him. And then he identified himself to the man, all right? And then he asked the man, do you want this individual, you know? Do you believe in the Son of God? And then the man said, who is he, Lord, that I may believe in him? There's when that provoking comes. Remember I talked to you about provoking others to want what you want, what you have, and want what you've experienced? Provoking them, meaning and getting them to a point that they just want it. They want it. They are happy, and they desire it as well. Remember? Well, here it is. Jesus came back, and now Jesus is telling him, and Jesus is asking him, and he answered, who is he, Lord, that I may believe in him? That's what we want people to say to us. That's what we want people to ask that question. Because once they ask that question, we can send them to the Lord. We can open up the scriptures and tell them what we did. Yes, provoking them to want what we got, the change that has come over our lives. And then the Bible says that Jesus said to him, you have both seen him, and it is he who is talking with you. So, again, that's the encouragement that I want to leave with you today. And you keep telling your story. Come on. Just keep telling what you know. Just keep telling it, all right? And as you're telling what the Lord has done, as you're telling people it's the Lord's doing, and it's marvelous in my sight, I would hope that it's marvelous in your sight as well. But either way, it is in mine, and I'm going to tell my story. I'm going to tell it whether you receive it or not. I'm going to tell it because I'm not boasting about myself or anything that I've done or any goodness in me. I'm boasting about this man called Jesus who came my way, and instead of passing by me, he stopped and gave me a simple command, and I followed it. And now I'm a changed individual, all right? And then when others turn their backs on me, others, all they want to do is put me down and reject me and revile me and abuse me and insult me. All that's what they wanted to do because I didn't change my story. Jesus didn't leave me out there by myself. He said he'll never leave us. He'll never leave us, all right? And he didn't leave me. He came right along and found me. They threw me out, of their circle, but Jesus came and found me and showed me a better way, all right? And so he said, once he said, Lord, I believe, then he began to worship him, okay? And so then he answers, you know, this is why he had come, all right? This is why he had come into the world altogether, to open the blindest eyes to them to get this. You know, they needed a savior. They needed help. This man had been physically blind, and he knew he needed help. And the helper came along. So as I close out today, I want you to please, please pay attention to the scriptures today. Pay attention to this dialogue today. Pay attention to what happened, that you don't keep sitting on the fence and feeling like you got to wait for this big program to come along to teach you how to witness. You got a story, and that makes you a witness. Because what are you witnessing to? You're witnessing to the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, how he can change our lives, how he made a change in your life. Hey, that's the story. People like to hear personal stories. And so you have your tool. You have your witnessing tool. You are a witness. Tell your story. And just keep remembering, tell what you know. Don't try to tell you know. And it will bring a change in somebody's life. The first change is in your own life. And the more you talk about it, the more you tell it, the more confident you become in the power of your Savior. Hey, and our Savior. So tell your story. Tell what you know. And so, once again, I hope that you read this and get as excited about it as I do. And I did over and over again. The man is speaking for himself. He wasn't waiting for somebody else to tell his story. He said, I am he. You're looking for, you're wondering if this man that pronounced thee is the one that was a beggar. He goes, I am he. And the more they asked him, he kept telling the same story. And then they couldn't believe him, so they tried to go and discredit him through his parents. And they sent him back to him. And once again, then finally he says, why do you keep asking me? Why? Are you going to change? Are you going to become his disciple too? In other words, right then he was admitting that, hey, I'm going to follow this person. I'm going to follow them. I'm going to follow him. I'm going to become his disciple. And then Jesus came and he rescued him. He came and introduced himself to him. And indeed, he accepted him. Oh, as the Lord, he accepted him in his life. All right? Simply by saying, Lord, I believe. And that's the word that goes out to you today. Come on, Lord, I believe. If you're not one like this man that accepted the story, accepted somebody has told you their story, and you were more like the religious leaders, you just wanted to tear them down and discredit them. And some even went to the extent of trying to discredit them. But today I say to you, come on, come back and say, Lord, I believe. Ask him to come into your life. Come on. Ask him to take charge of your life. The Bible says if you do that, confess it with your mouth, believe it in your heart. He said, you'll be saved, all right? You'll be saved, and you'll be like on a new journey, a journey of joy and excitement. I'm not saying that it won't be hardships along the way, but you won't be alone anymore, all right? You'll be walking with one who's there for you and that won't leave you and won't cast you away, that he stay with you, okay? So please, I say to you, this has been Dr. Annie B. Wilder coming on the Dr. Annie B. Wilder Show. I pray that you've been encouraged. I encourage you to go back and pick up the scriptures and read them again and remember, okay, that, hey, you might be reviled. In other words, you might be, talked about. You might be abused and you might be insulted and you might even be rejected when you make this stand. But remember, the one person that does not reject you is the Lord Jesus Christ, and he promises a better life, and he's there to walk you through it. So, hey, can you handle the rejection of men knowing that you're not by yourself? Can you handle? I remember we was on this street corner. I remember when we used to do this or do that, okay? Well, the point is that's when you used to do. That's what you used to do. But I'm no longer that man. I'm no longer that woman. I'm a changed individual because of Jesus Christ. And have the boldness to speak it. That's your story. Tell what you know. You don't have to pretend that wasn't you. You be honest. I am the man, the blind man said. I am he. I'm not going to try to pretend that that's not me. I am he. Be bold enough to say it. I am he. I was that man. I'm no longer that man. I've been changed. I've been changed. So until the next time that I have this privilege of coming to be with you, I pray you a special blessing this week. Come on and just be blessed, knowing that you spent time, and I am grateful that you spent time with me today on the Dr. Annie B. Wilder Show. So until then, God bless now.